get it anyway.
You hear me now? Okay. You don't have to listen to the announcements. Just enter the number. No. Do you hear me speaking? Do you hear me speaking? Okay. That's fine. And okay. Yes, please leave it on and mute it so that you don't have to hear me. Well, I don't think it's a problem because I'm speaking and you're not hearing that loud. But with some people, it's been they needed to mute it, so don't worry about it.
Gabriel.
Please sign in. So welcome, everybody. This is the introduction to the Kabbalah Salt Lake group, meetup group. This is the introductory lecture where I will explain absolutely nothing. But I hope you will have some questions as I discuss, because the word Kabbalah is a Hebrew word that means to receive. And what it is talking about is many different levels of understanding, because Torah has 70 different understandings. And one of our sages, the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, specifies that every human being has a different understanding of each verse in the Torah, in the Tanakh, which is, I'm using a lot of Hebrew words, but it's all the Bible, the Old Testament, the prophets, and the writings, which are the Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Songs, all of the books that you're used to from the term Bible. The only thing I don't include is the New Testament. And there are some other books that we don't include, like the Book of Jubilee and other books of that nature. But we teach Torah, and Kabbalah is how to receive Torah. And what is Torah? Is the blueprint of creation. The sages teach that God looked into the Torah and created the worlds. So it's really, in essence, how do we get closer to God? That's what Torah is, and that's what Kabbalah is. Yes, sir.
Is the Torah like a forest, like a geometry? You look into it, that geometry?
Well, most of what we teach is metaphorical. But if you consider the levels of information that is built into just even the written Torah, you're familiar with the concept of the Bible codes. You've heard of it.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But essentially what the Bible codes say, in the Hebrew language, every letter has a numerical value. So when you see a word, you are also seeing a number. And when a word has a similar number to another word, there's some type of relationship. So one example of that is the word nachash, which means snake, and the proverbial snake from the Garden of Eden. The Messiah, Mashiach, has the exact same gematria, the same number value. So what's the relationship between the snake and the Messiah? They're two sides of the same coin. Good and evil, both were created by the Creator, although that is very uncomfortable and takes a lot of discussion to understand it. And I probably shouldn't have brought that into this discussion so early. But truth is truth. So as I was saying, I teach Torah. Kabbalah is how to receive Torah, which is how to receive the beneficence of God. There's an assumption in Kabbalah that cannot be proved. So So we have one basic rule in this class. Never believe a word I say. Please do not believe me. But please do some of the actions that I ask you to do. None of them will be harmful, but you will experience for yourself, and you will prove to yourself that what I teach is truth. And if you don't, this course lasts 20 weeks. 10 of those weeks, maybe 12 of those weeks, I will be here physically teaching to you. By the end of that 10 or 12 weeks, I would hope that you would become a community that would meet at various places, and I will teach you over the internet, because I cannot stay in each city for the full 20 weeks. There are many people in pain who need these tools, and my job is to travel to them and introduce them to these tools, just as you have been or are being introduced. Maybe you've had these tools explained through other locations. It's all the same, and yet it's always different when it's taught by a different teacher. Are there any questions so far? Yes. The meaning of the word Torah, it can be translated as law. It can be translated as teachings. It can be translated as the blueprint of creation. There are 70 different explanations to the word Torah. Yes?
What was the numeric value of the number of Torah?
611. But that's because there are 613 mitzvot. We heard at Sinai, and that was not just to the Jewish nation. Sinai was just to the Jewish nation, but at that moment, every other nation was given access to the Bible, to the Torah. The first two of the Esther Dibrot, which is commonly translated as the Ten Commandments, God doesn't command, so we don't use that term. The term is Esther Dibrot. Esther is 10, Dibrot has the shoresh, the word connection to words or sentences or utterances. So the 10 utterances, the first two of them, and attest in the Torah, the first two of them we all heard directly from the mouth of God, whatever that metaphor means. So that 611 plus the two is the 613 mitzvot that is accepted as the, I don't want to say obligations, but the connections to the Creator.
I thought the Torah of the Old Testament.
The Torah is the five books of Moses, okay. All of the prophets, and all of the writings.
So the Talmud, the law.
I'm sorry?
How do you say the word Talmud?
Talmud?
Yeah.
Talmud? Talmud is a commentary on the Torah.
Okay.
And that commentary is explaining the how. What we use is the Zohar, and the Zohar is the why behind each of the different laws or different mitzvot. So I'm going to now bring my normal starting at every class. It's not till the third class that I will explain what I'm doing. But briefly, I'm going to be saying what's called the Kabbalah's prayer. But I'm only going to say it quickly with the letters, not the words. And then I'm going to read a verse from the Zohar. The purpose of those two actions is to bring the energy of creation and the energy of holiness into this space.
Tet kuf bet, tet nun ayin. Yud gimel lamet pe zayin kuf.
This is the verse that connects to the month of Elul that we entered yesterday. The Resh that created the planet Mercury, and the Yud that created the constellation Betulah, which is the Virgin or the Virgo. Shin Guvat Tzad Yud Taf. And the last verse we say in a whisper, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. Vayehi Noam Adonai Elohim Le'ena Ma'asei Yadena Tenenei Le'ena Ma'asei Yadena Tenenehu Lidun Biskila L'Samael De'Evan Bi'Yud Zarigla L'Gabei B'Chamesh Yitzva'an De'inun Hey, Uvakaneh, dear Roah, the Ivuval, Uvakate, the Taman, hey, Uzalik la legabe, Mahashava, the Ihu Shema, Meporash, Yud, hey, Val, hey. To punish Samael with stoning, that is, with a stone which is the Yud, it is thrown at him with five fingers that are the hey. And with the outstretched arm that is the Vav, and with the shoulder which is the Hay. And the thought throws that stone at him, which is the explicitly pronounced name Yud He Vav He. That name Yud He Vav He is the tetragrammaton, the four letter name of God that is not pronounced since the temple has been destroyed. Actually, since the first temple was destroyed. The second temple, there were people who knew how to pronounce it. And in our generation, the truth is there are people who know how to pronounce it, but nobody does. Whenever we read that name in the Bible, in the Torah, from a scroll, we say the name Adonai. Adonai is a name of God in the physical world. The tetragrammaton is the name of God in the spiritual world. When we see the tetragrammaton, and we say Adonai, we are unifying the spiritual and the physical. Consciousness is what Kabbalah is about to teach you, but it takes a step-by-step approach. Any questions? Yes?
They were figured out in small of New York protests.
Zohar.
Zohar.
The answer to that question is, what do you want to believe?
I think he did.
Okay. So for you, he did. And every Kabbalist who's ever admitted to being a Kabbalist has said that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wrote it 2,000 years ago. The academic Kabbalists teach us that it could not have been written by him. It had to have been written by Moses de Leon in 1170. And for me, that's not a conflict, because I just assume that they're both the same soul that have been reincarnated. And so it's the same soul who wrote it, so what's the difference?
Thank you.
But everybody has their own opinion on that subject. Any other questions? This is going to seem like it's not Torah, but I'm going to pass this out. And please, keep the paper face down. And why I say it seems like it's not Torah, it actually is. Because the purpose of this class is to give you something to think about. And that is, this world is an illusion. We were given five senses for the physical world, and all of them are lies. You don't see the television waves that are running through this room, do you? So your eyes are lying to you. Science tells us that our eyes have to see upside down. You think the Creator needed to create eyes that could see straight ahead? Why is it upside down? These are questions that most people don't ask. Why don't they ask it? Doesn't occur to them to ask. And if it does occur to them to ask, they get told by teachers in the, as a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old, stop wasting your time, or whatever appropriate language that particular teacher uses. There is no such thing as a wrong question. None. And everything, including God, is subject to question. Now, Kabbalists do not use the name God. It's an English word. Kabbalists use the Tetragrammaton, the Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adonai, Shaddai, Shin, Dalet, Yud, the 72 names of God, the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. God has many names, because God is unlimited. A name is a definition. Can you define God? God can't be defined. That would mean that we could limit him. We can't limit him, or her, or it. Names are very important. When we give a name of God, we are giving an attribute of God. The Tetragrammaton is the attribute of mercy. Elohim is the attribute of judgment. Shaddai is the attribute that protects us from negative entities. Different names, different attributes. Healing, love, protection from physical handicaps or spiritual handicaps, name of God. Protection for Parnassah. Connection to Parnassah, sustenance, a name of God. Certainty, a name of God. What does it mean when I say a name of God? It means an attribute. This is what Kabbalah teaches us, how to experience closeness to the Creator. Now that is done based on where you want it to be. There are people who find it comfortable to have personal experiences in a spiritual frame. They will travel in other dimensions, other times, other senses, other places, other whens. Other people want a connection to the Creator, which is more physical. Everything is correct because the Creator created us to choose to get closer to Him. And He chose that Torah to teach us how to do that. If you'll turn the paper over, you'll have 2 minutes to count the numbers of the letter S in the I'm sorry, I've mixed up some of the papers. So count the number of letters S in the bold print. There are two different sentences on these papers, so we will handle the adjustment. But please count the number of letter S in front of you. Don't count the small print. All S. And on the conference call, I am stopping. Please stop. How many people think there are one F? How many people think? Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I am very surprised There's one sentence that has 6, and there's one sentence that has 14. So if you think that there's 11, you're missing some. And if you think there are 7 or 5, you're missing some. The question, and the reason I'm surprised, is the only people who get the correct answer the first time are people who, one, have seen this before, two, have Virgo in their astrological chart, or three, speak English as a second language. And you'll understand that when we start to understand why the rest of us made that mistake, because I made that same mistake. When they handed me this paper with 6, I was counting 4. When they handed it to me with 14, I was counting 11. Anybody want to try and count? Show me where the 6 are? There's two different papers, actually. You can see the difference. They either have 6 or they have 14. From the length that you have in front of you, there's 14 there. The gentleman next to you has 6. And the ones who counted 5 or 7 or 4, you have 6. How many did you count?
5.
You know what you missed. May I have this? First F on the number 6, which is the short sentence that's at the top of the page. You don't know it's short, so it's at the top of the page. If you have a sentence in the middle of the page, it's a longer sentence and has 14. F in finished, 1. F in files, 2. Of, F in 3. The second of, 4. Scientific, 5. Of, 6. Anybody who's missed the F, always in the word of. Why do English-speaking people miss that word? Because it's a V sound. But so what? If you were a computer, you would just scan across and count the letter S. That's what you were asked to do. Why didn't you? And I'm assuming you didn't, but I don't mean to attack you that way. Why don't people get this correct? The answer, yes. Very, very good answer. Also correct as his answer of when we say the word of, we're not saying Frank F, we're saying B. And so our minds see the F but hear the V, and so we don't count it. But again, that's not explaining why we make this mistake. What Kabbalah says, we have eyes and we transpose to what we see, and that process allows an entity called Satan to interfere in what we see, to limit us in what we see, to make mistakes. And another word for that entity called Satan is ego. Ego in Kabbalah means anything that blocks you from knowing truth. Doesn't mean what you, the word ego in psychological terms. It's a very different definition. Yes? We are given something called a free choice. There's good, there's evil. Whatever that means, and they're metaphors. Good and evil. We're given a choice. Choose one, choose the other. This past week in the Torah, we read a famous verse. I put before you the blessings and the curses. Choose. Choose life is the actual quote. Yes, but it's not that he's blocking the truth. His job is to make you lengthen your process to find the truth, to make it difficult to see the truth. Almost like a maze. If I give you the metaphor of a baseball game or a soccer match, you have a stadium and you have the best players, all the famous players from that sport, and the best equipment, and a hometown that really puts out and really motivates the players. And they walk onto the field, but nobody gave them a rule book. Nobody told them how to play baseball. What do you think you're going to have on that field? A big mess. We call that chaos. What do you think this world looks like? Chaotic. Chaos. We don't have the rule books, except we do. It's called the Torah.
Because it's a Torah, you develop intuition. So you don't need a mind structure or ego to see truth.
What the Torah helps you develop is your connections to intuition. What the Torah helps you develop is your connection to a concept called Chachma, which means wisdom. For 400 years, ever since a philosopher by the name of Descartes, or Cartesian is another mathematician, we have been taught logic. Understand. Know what is right. Use logic to make your decisions. You have an intuition, disregard it. I can show you children who are now adults. As 3-year-olds, they could see, they could hear, they knew. I was hearing the story of an 8-year-old. Dad, slow the car. Dad, pull over. Had he continued, they would have been in an accident. It's a family that's very psychic, very intuitive. This child has these skills. And in that family, they're not telling her, either. They're not telling her, stay away from her. But for most Western society, those people who have those connections are being taught, use logic. Don't use that intuition. Don't trust it. You can't be right. Because how many times do you have intuition and it's wrong? I have an intuition that the number 6 in the seventh race in Hollywood Park is going to win tomorrow. Anybody willing to accept my intuition and make a bet? I'll book the bet for you. Yes.
What you're saying, there is a force within everything that is slowing you down, blocking the truth, so you learn that.
The metaphor that comes from the Torah is in the Garden of Eden, Chava, Eve, ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and asked Adam to eat from that same tree. He did. When they ate from the tree, what is the metaphor of eating? You put something inside your body. Guess what we put in our body? That filter called Satan. That filter that doesn't let us see truth lengthens our process. So in our bodies, every human being since Adam and Eve, we have a good inclination and an evil inclination. You know you're supposed to not run a red light. But at 3 in the morning, that evil inclination says, who's going to know? And you listen. You run it. Now we have signals that go off with photographs, so you're in big trouble.
I'm also sensing another layer of this. I did not intentionally cast Correct.
Correct.
When it sensitized me to this, it is a part of my vision.
Yes.
Go,
but what? But why are you in this world? To be human?
Divine.
Or to be divine?
Well, hopefully to be divine, but I need to
And what is the Torah, the Hebrew letters, and we'll discuss this in great detail in the third class. These are the tools that sensitize your humanness to choose to be divine. Is your idea of God perfection? Your idea of God is not perfection. Okay. Then, as a consciousness, you know that you cannot achieve perfection ever. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are people in the world who choose to want to be perfect, knowing that as a human being, that's very difficult. Not impossible.
They
know it's possible. In Kabbalah, we try and avoid the word belief. And I'll explain why. I'm holding a pen up. If I drop this pen, will it fall to the table or the floor? You don't know. Okay. How about everybody else? Will it drop? It will drop to the table or the floor.
Oh, yes. Really?
No, I'm not asking you. The only reason I'm saying is you can't see what I'm holding it over. Okay. So, if I let go of it, it'll drop either to the table or the floor, whichever I'm holding it over. Read? Does anybody say it won't? What did you believe? And what do you know? Maybe I could, instead of my hand, I could have commanded an angel to come take it out of the air. Do you believe or do you know? What's your experience? Don't believe a word I say, but please experience for yourself what I ask you to do. That's what the message of these F's are about. And I could give you many other approaches. The purpose of this class is to give you something to think about. This world of our physical world is an illusion. There is no truth in it. There is only illusion. There is no illusion in the Creator. But in our world, there is illusion. Yes? Okay. We definitely can be human, and we definitely, when we're helping somebody else, being divine. But can you do both at the same time?
You can be divine on any level.
We agree. We absolutely agree. So why aren't people there yet?
Well, because there's probably balance.
And why would that be? Perfect answers to why people need to study Kabbalah. Because the knowledge is in the Kabbalah. The sensitivity that is necessary comes through the Kabbalah. The process of connecting to the information that I will be giving you over the next 20 weeks. At the end of that period, you will have every tool necessary to live in this physical world a happy, contented, serene, chaos-free life. Totally fulfilled in everything you want. Now, I didn't say in 20 weeks you would achieve that. I said you will have the tools that will allow you to achieve that. But don't believe a word I say. Just try and experience the process and see what the Kabbalah allows you to do in your own life about removing the chaos that is in your life. Nobody comes to the study of Kabbalah that isn't in pain. Now, I'm not looking at anybody in this room and saying you're in pain. I know you're in pain. What is pain? Anytime you have a lack in your life, that's a form of pain. In the Talmud, there's this wonderful explanation. They don't call it this. They don't use these words. But it's essentially different people saying what is chaos to them in their life. This is 2,000 years ago. What is chaos? Loss of a parent, God forbid. Loss of a child, God forbid. Sickness, God forbid. Lack of financial resources, God forbid. Going hungry, God forbid. These are all chaotic, and we would all agree these are chaos. Then this wonderful man, he comes up to and he records for posterity. In his life, chaos is reaching into his pocket for 3 coins to give in charity and taking out 4. Is that chaos? You reach into your pocket to get 3 coins and you bring out 4. Is that chaotic? For him, that's how he defines chaos. Because in his life, at his level, what he thought, his intention always manifested. Now, this is not a very unusual man. I don't have to go into it now, what makes him unusual. Except that I will give you some information. The Sanhedrin is the high court consisting of 70 sages and 2 apprentices. The sages have to know all 70 languages of the 70 nations of the world. So these are people that are pretty impressive. They're knowledgeable. They're bright. They've studied. They know logic. They know intuition. The Sanhedrin, the minimum level of knowledge that was necessary to become the apprentice, they had to be able to bring rain out of season. They had to be able to change the course of a river. And they had to resurrect the dead. And that was the minimum level that they needed to reach. Now, many people read this in the Talmud and say it's metaphorical. It isn't really real. Other people know that it is real because there are people today who are capable of resurrecting the dead. They know how, and they know how to tell the person how to do that. Not the dead person, but other people. Part of the process, don't believe a word I say, but please experiment, experience for yourself what I ask you to do. Now, I'm going to again pass out, but this time you can...
Face up?
No, face up is fine. What I'm passing out is ways to contact. And I'm also recommending four actions, and I've written the number five below that because I want you to write it in your own hands what the fifth action is. I have a website. Excuse me for using the word I, because while most of it comes from me, there are a lot of people involved in creating it. And most of the donations that I don't request tonight are used to build and expand that website. I'd ask you to look at that website. On that website, you will be able to get your personal verses depending on your name. Now, there's a lot of names that I haven't completed and that we haven't completed giving all of the information, but the structure is there. You will also be able to get not only your personal verses, which is literally, in my opinion, God speaking to you today in your life. Because the Torah, as I understand it, is written for every person in every generation from Adam until the Messiah. And that, one second, and that those verses are speaking to us. Those verses are telling us what to do. Those verses are helping us. But of course, it has to be done in a coded way. Yes?
Another question that comes to mind. Does this book that has our name and has our verses, does it tell us when we were born and when we're going to die?
Do you want to know when you're going to die?
Not really. But is it?
Hebrew astrology will give you that information if you want it, but most people don't. All things are known to the Creator. He has given us the tools to know all things. But not all of us need to know all things or even want to know all things. And we'll come to understand why next week when we talk about what happened before the Big Bang and why the physical world was created. Spend some time on the website. There's a lot of information there. It tells you what I'm teaching. All of the recordings are there from all of my previous classes. So if you listen to class one from San Diego and San Jose and Idaho, you will hear totally different than what I taught you today. Because I have no idea what I'm going to say. At every class, I have an overall structure. But ultimately, you are receiving this information, and therefore, you are telling me on a spiritual level what to say that will motivate you to be the best person you can be, whatever best means to you. So you're going to hear. You're going to tell me what to say, and you're going to hear what you want to hear about that. Part of seeking truth is to look past that want to hear and to hear what is said. Just going through how to contact me. The one point I want to mention, as I said, nobody comes to Kabbalah who's not in pain. I am here for 10 weeks. Please make use of me. Abuse me of time. Abuse me of knowledge. Make use of me. Call me. Email me. Ask me questions. Talk to me about your life and what you want and how you need a job, you need more money, you need a better spouse or a spouse to begin with. Whatever the issues are in your life, I am here to help. No, I am not a therapist, but the process that I have been taught is much faster than therapy. What I offer is a chaos-free life if you're willing to learn the tools and utilize them in your life. That's your decision. My job is just to present them. Please utilize me. I'm here for 10 weeks. The last 10 weeks, I hope that you will, as a community, stay together and hear those last 10 classes. And then build your community from that. Because what will happen for those of you who use the tools, what happens is your life becomes less chaotic. And people need to see that around you. They notice the change. Something's different about you is the normal cause. I don't know what it is, but they're really, what's going on with you? And that's when you will say, I've started to study Kabbalah. The mistake that I've made and many people when you first start studying Kabbalah make is running after our families and running after our friends. We've got the answer. Trust me. They also have an answer. Our answer, the Kabbalah, works for every human being, but it will never be forced on a human being. They have to seek it out.
Free will.
Free will. Building a vessel is another term we'll use. Use me, contact me, whether it's email, whether it's phone, whether it's psychic, whatever way you want to do it. You want me to come to you in your dreams, I'll do that. Just let me know.
I have a question.
Sure. What is my purpose? What is your purpose? Why are you in this business?
I mean, so are we kind of still and we're going to be moving.
Yes. Yes. And part of that is knowing who your what your name is and the connection to your verses, the connection to the gematria of your name and all of the words associated with that gematria. Teaching you what traits are built into your name where you have free choice so that you can throw those negative traits away. One of the traits for my name, Hanoch, is spelled with four Hebrew letters, Tet, Nun, Vav, Kaf, Sofi. So one of the traits, the word Hen means grace. Grace is a religious term that I usually just say, can anybody tell me what grace is? But I'll give you the Hebrew answer, which is Chet Nun stands for Chachma Chet Nestar Nun. Chachma means wisdom. Nestar means concealed or hidden. The name Chanoch comes from a shoresh, a root, that means Tinach, which means education. It also means dedication. But the purpose for this discussion, education. So, what am I here to teach is the hidden wisdom. The last two letters of my name have a gematria of 26, which is the tetragrammaton, that name of God that is so powerful and so concealed. I'm here to teach you the hidden wisdom of the Creator. That's my role in life. That's what I knew. Now, I didn't do that for the first 45 years of my life. And the last 20 years, I've been learning how to do what I'm doing now. So, yes, every person has a purpose, and you will find that out through this wisdom. Now, you can find it out through other ways, but it's a lot longer. A lot harder and a lot more painful. A brief word on donations. Checks, PayPal, internet, any way you want to do it. Just not tonight, because I made an agreement to have the class here. And part of that agreement is that I cannot ask for a donation. So I am not asking for a donation tonight. You want to make a donation? Go to PayPal. My email address is there. You do not need to have a PayPal account. If you do, that's fine. If you don't, your debit or credit card will be used. And PayPal has never been hacked, so it really is safe.
Mm.
Now, the recommended actions. Don't believe a word I say, but please do what I ask you to do. Spend some time on the website. If you have questions, send me an email. Call me. I'm here to help. Check out your astrological information. Your Hebrew astrology is very different than your Western astrology, or your Vedic astrology, or your Chinese astrology, all of which comes from Abraham the patriarch, who was the world's foremost astronomer, astrologer of his generation. When he discovered, revealed that there was one God, he wrote a book called the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation. When he wrote that book, it had 400 chapters. He wrote that book as a book of outreach, a proselytizing to the people, to the nations of the world. This is how you reach God. This is how you know that there is one God. That book is down to 6 chapters. We lack the merit to have the other information. It's been lost over the centuries. But those 6 chapters, I teach a course every Monday on the Sefer Yetzirah, explaining how to know God through meditation and through Hebrew astrology. From that 6 chapters, it's that powerful.
Can you check it out from the library?
Yes, you can check out the Sefer.
What's the name of it?
Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation. Sure. The most famous English translation is by R.A. Kaplan.
I got his books.
The Revealed Wisdom section on the website has all of the recordings of all of the classes that I've done. You're welcome to the knowledge. Please spend some time listening to it. You will understand what you understand. You will intuit a lot more. But until you build the vessel of knowledge, a lot of it will not be useful to you. When we read a verse in the Bible, it doesn't make any sense. I am the Lord your God who take you out of the land of Egypt. That's the Esther Dibrot. You were taught that was the first commandment. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. Direct translation. It is what it says in Hebrew, and typically English translations are corrupted. So where's the command? What's the Esther Dibrot teaching us? I've taught this to 10-year-olds in 5th grade. What is the Esther Dibrot teaching? To know God. I am the Lord your God. I am. I. There's a philosopher by the name of Descartes who says, I think, therefore I am. And he's got it wrong. There's the word I. Anochi in Hebrew. I already implies consciousness. I is separate than thou. I is separate than others. the whole consciousness that comes from this discussion. Too long for tonight. But think about it. Listen to the classes. You will find them beneficial. Sorry. Sign up for the Daily Zohar. The third class, I'm going to explain to you what is the Zohar. Why did I read it tonight? And I will read it at the beginning of every class. You won't get that information until the third class. But it is beneficial to your soul and your body and your life to read or scan, if you don't read Hebrew, the Aramaic that comes in an email daily. And that's why I'm suggesting that you do this. If you're looking for a logical explanation that if you do this, you sign up and you get this email, and this is going to happen logically straightforward, the answer is, don't believe a word I say. But it will be beneficial to you. Please try it. The Hebrew words, the Hebrew letters that I said at the beginning is called the Anabakoah. It's called the Kabbalist prayer. It is the 42 letters that was used by the Creator to create our physical world. When you connect to that energy, when you connect to that prayer, it's not a prayer, it's not asking for anything. God spoke, the world came into being, essentially as a paraphrase of the book of Genesis, of the first chapter of Genesis, of the 7 days of creation. God spoke, and God said light, and there was light. God spoke, and there was. There was no process. Like when we speak, please go turn off the light. There's a process. Somebody has to get up and go turn off the light. God spoke, and the lights go off. And in Isaiah, he's quoted as saying, I created darkness and formed light. I don't know what your English translations say in your Bibles, but the Hebrew is very clear. I created darkness and I formed light. Darkness is something that doesn't exist in the Creator. Darkness is a code word for what is called desire to receive. Guess who has a desire to receive? Us. We'll talk about it next week. The 72 names of God. Again, in the fourth class, we'll go into it in detail. Take a look at what the handouts for those classes. Make a daily connection to that. If you don't start it now, it's okay. These are things that are recommended. I don't really expect everybody to do it all at once. Don't believe a word I say, but please try what I suggest. Now, the fifth thing I'm asking you to do, I want you to write it in your own hands so that it's reinforced. On the website, yeshem.com, at the top on the right, there's a word that says newsletter. Click on that. The first thing you'll see is a box that lets you sign up for the newsletter. Once a month, I send you an astrological information about the Hebrew month, which happened to start yesterday. Every week, I send you a reading, an email, telling you about the essence or the energy of the week. I don't have time tonight to go into the details, but for 3,000 years, Jewish people have been reading the Torah weekly, and they have been reading a section for the week, and that section has energy. And that energy is a protection shield for you, for the energy that's coming into the next week. Before there's a disease, there's a cure. God creates the cure, before the disease. Proof of that is, where do you find the cure for poison ivy? Growing right next to it. The hearing of the Torah is that protection shield. Understanding the essence of it, even if you don't hear it, and it's better to hear it, this will help you understand what's coming into your life. These next 60 days will determine, according to Kabbalah, these next 60 days will determine your next year. How many days will be happy? How many days will not? God forbid. How many days will be sickness? How many days will not? How many children? Not all of that information is determined for every human being, Jewish, non-Jewish, atheist. Every human being in 30 days will be judged by the Creator. I gave you energy last year. What did you do with it? There are techniques, there are rituals that help you overcome that question. Because none of us can say, I used it properly. And if I didn't use it properly, why should the Creator give it to you again? It's just, you know, He's placing a bet on a bad horse. On all of us being bad horses. But the Creator, His essence is love. So He will give you that energy. But there are rituals that can make you get that energy for next year that is a chaos-free life and not a life like we had this past year. I'm pushing you on this point because there's only these 30 days leading up to that and the 30 days afterwards that's part of those rituals. And I don't get to that till the 10th week, the 11th week. And so I'm sorry. I'm giving you information because of time. And normally I wouldn't do that if we were not facing that. But this is a very critical period for the year. Now, you heard about the Hurricane Irene. It was supposed to destroy Florida, right? That daily Zohar I've asked you to sign up for sent out a note. A Kabbalist has requested all of us to scan a particular section of the Zohar which controls natural disasters, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, and the like. They said, we know about this hurricane. Please scan this so that we can avoid it. Now, there are many people in this room and in this life who would hear this and say, coincidence, bogus, not true. It's up to you. For me, I have experienced personally the power of the Zohar because I had a business in 1992 or 3, I don't remember the year exactly, in Northridge, 1 mile from that Northridge earthquake. And I was renting 10,000 square feet in a 50,000 square foot building. That whole building was destroyed except for my 10,000 feet. My 10,000 feet got shaken up. My inventory got thrown around. But I was back operational in 2 days. The rest of the building had to be rebuilt around me. Now, why did that happen? One of my teachers dropped off a set of Zohar, and it was sitting in the building. I've seen it for myself. I proved it to myself. Tamar, who's sitting down there, travels with me. She's from Europe. She's a student of mine. You've been studying, 5 years? almost 5 years. If you want to ask her after the class, because I don't want to take people's time now, she'll tell you what Kabbalah has done for her. I'm explaining why I know it to be true. Don't believe a word I say. Experience it for yourself. This is the class. Are there any questions? Yes.
I think so.
I'm sorry?
Do you just have your own organization? Are you connected with any other?
I had started to learn at the Kabbalah Learning Center. I still learn there. I learned directly with Rabbi Berg, Ralph Berg, Michael and Yuda, his sons. They changed more rapidly than I was willing to. I learned from Rabbi Lightman at the B'nai Baruch group. I have learned from Abraham Sutton. I have learned from Rabbi Barsada. I have learned from most of the Kabbalists that are living and some that are deceased. I study because I seek through. What I teach is not an easy process. It's not spoon-fed, as some people say about these two major organizations, B'nai Baruch and the Kabbalah Center. I do not say that because I still study with all of them, because there's truth to be found everywhere. What I teach is how to live a chaos-free life if you choose to do so. I travel from city to city because there are people in pain and they need these tools. And I'm supported by donations. What doesn't go into the hotel room and the food and the gas goes into the website. They can listen to the recording, which I hope to have up there. Usually it takes me about a week to get it up. So, you know, hopefully they'll be here next week. The question about next week is there anybody who has a space that they're able to donate for this size group, or do we need to stay in the library? Or I think Javier knows of a place that takes a small fee. And since I live on donations, I didn't want to commit to that without knowing what's happened. But I've had experience where they can be 20, 30 people, 40 people at a beginning class, and by the third class, people have dropped out. And that's very normal, because what I teach is not easy. I teach Torah, and I ask you to be better than you were yesterday. I ask you to think for yourself, and not because a rabbi or a teacher tells you to do so. I give you information and I ask you to experience it. That is not an easy process, but it is beneficial. The prophets have told us that there are two paths to the Messiah. One is the path of chaos, pain and suffering. And we've all experienced it. We all have lived it. It's the lack of knowledge of how to live within the frame of our physical world. The other path is the path of Torah. That path comes without the Armageddon War. It comes with the lion lying down with the lamb. It comes with all of those beautiful prophecies of peace and serenity in your life here and in the Middle East and everywhere else. The choice is ours. If enough of us learn to use the tools, the prophecy of peace without chaos, without Armageddon war, will come to pass. We'll talk about more of it next week. God forbid, not enough of us get to that point. Yes?
What do we need next week?
That's the question. Right now it's scheduled for here. Check the meetup group or give me a call on next Tuesday. By then we'll know where we are.
Okay.
If anybody has a space you want to, you know, send me an email or let me know about it in another way. Any other questions? Yes. Meetup.com, yes. And the name of the group is Salt Lake Kabbalah. And I believe for individuals, Meetup is free. And it's a small fee to generate the organization. So, and that's already paid for. Any other questions? Well, I wish you all a good night, and I am here to answer questions after the recording, which I'm now hanging up on the phone.